Lord Jesus. Well, tonight, if you'll take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, just to read, to preach, to know this wonderful truth about the Lord Jesus, about heaven, about eternity. And we're going to take a question that's asked in this passage and just deal with it for a little bit here tonight. In John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, very familiar verse. John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Never a more wonderful, simplistic statement was made than what is made in verse 6 when Jesus explained the plain path and direction to heaven. It's not confused with deep theological meaning. It's not clouded in mystery or unrecognizable, but he simply identifies himself as the way. I am the way. To know Jesus is to know the way. To know Jesus is to know the truth, and to have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior is to receive life. He is life, He is truth, He is the exclusive way to heaven. But I want us to think of this, I want us to try to think of this in terms of Thomas's question. Thomas's question really gives us more of an insight of course, Thomas is a believer, of course. He is believed upon the Lord and one of the Lord's disciples. But in his estimation, this statement of heaven and living in heaven and dwelling in heaven was somewhat still clouded and confusing to him, and he just needed more explanation. If you look at it with me in verse 5, I want to deal with the question that he asked for a little bit here tonight. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest." We know not whether thou goest. You've got to sort of put yourself in his shoes and try to understand what exactly is he talking about. This leaving us, is he talking about some other town, some other city, some other district now that he's going to work in? Lord, exactly what are you talking about? And then he further asked the question, "We know not whether thou goest." And then, how can we know the way? That somewhat comes from just a human thought, a human understanding. And he's asking this question, he's really asking this question sort of like a man who doesn't even know Jesus. The question comes, you'd have thought maybe he'd have had a little more understanding at that time, but he just simply asked an honest question, how can you know the way? How can you know the way? And tonight, if I could challenge us that there's a world of people around us that do not know the way to heaven. They may have some sort of concept or some sort of ideal or some sort of plan that they are placing together, and other things and other objects maybe that they're trusting in, but truly do not have a clear understanding of the way to heaven. Honestly, most people and the majority of people, when you begin to talk to them about heaven, their concept is, well, if I'm good enough, I'll get there. If my deeds are good enough. You'll even hear things like, well, if my good outweighs my bad, you know, if my good rises up a little bit higher than all the bad that I've done, then surely he'll usher me into heaven. And we know from Bible truth that that's absolutely not right. That is not even close to being right, but yet so many people are trusting in that sort of nonsense and that sort of falsehood. But I want us to think of three things tonight that we even can use in help explaining the gospel and explaining to people about answering this question, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? I believe we could use this outline in even talking to people about being saved. How can you know the way? And of course we know Jesus is the way. He's the door to heaven. He's the way to heaven. He is everything, you know, good about heaven. It's Jesus. I mean, he is our Savior, our Lord. He paid the price. He died in our place. We understand that and we know that. And by placing our faith in him and trusting him, just as we see all through the scripture of people doing, that's how we're still saved today. By turning to Jesus, believing upon him, receiving him as Lord and Savior. How can we know the way? Well, think with me for a moment of what it means to be lost. What it means to be lost. Now surely all of us have somewhat of a concept, or I'm sure we do tonight, of what it means to be physically lost. And by the way, have you ever been physically lost? Now that's more of a question relative to my generation and older, you know, before you had the cell phones and the GPSs and all that kind of thing. But I mean, absolutely being lost. You do not know exactly where you're at or really how you got there, how you're going to get out of there. That's a real deal. And I've been there a few times, but, you know, I vaguely let Miss Deb know that. You know, Tarzan knows the way to the waterfall. He knows how to get there. But Jane says, no, Tarzan doesn't know the way. I've always wanted a t-shirt that says that. You know, Tarzan knows the way. I hope y'all know what I'm talking about. That's an old commercial. But you think about being lost. Now, I've told you many times from time to time about growing up, and I cherish those memories of growing up in Missouri, and I just thought everybody, you know, lived the kind of life I did and had the great privileges that I had growing up. I just thought everybody had that, but as I grew older, I understood everybody didn't have that. Couldn't just walk out your back door and go in any direction and go hunting. Now that's just the way I grew up. I mean, any direction I wanted to go, we could hunt. I mean, it was just either we owned it or we had permission to be there, or whoever owned it didn't really care who was there. And so just about any direction I could go or take my dogs to go hunting, I could go. I mean, north, south, east, west, it didn't matter. I grew up in the woods. But one thing about it, you might want to make sure that your light's working well and that you pay attention to where you're at, or you could get turned around and then you could get lost. And that's really a fuzzy feeling when you finally, when you're looking and walking and thinking you're heading the right direction, and it just never gets clear, and you're not recognizing anything in the woods around you, and you finally get to a place you say, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. There was one particular night that my brother happened to be with me. He really didn't like to coon hunt, but I could twist his arm sometimes, and he might go with me. And there was, and we were very young, by the way. I mean, we couldn't have been hardly 12 or 11 or 13, somewhere in there. And off into the woods we went. I mean, we had gone and gone and gone deeper and deeper. And then finally we said, where are we at, by the way? said, you know, I don't know. And for a time, we was beginning to get a little scared. As little kids out in the dark woods. And it's hard to explain that feeling to someone unless they've been there and experienced the sensation of, I do not know where I'm at. I just know that I'm in this big, vast woods, and I don't know where the truck is, and I don't know how to get there. And that feeling of being lost, you know, it's equal to the feeling and the understanding when you realize you're spiritually lost. Have you ever been there? Sure. If you're saved, you have. You see, before a person could ever be saved, they must realize they're lost. You can't save yourself. You can't find your way out of the woods, so to speak. And you realize you're lost. You're hopelessly, helplessly lost. Now, I've never been lost at sea, but I can't imagine. Can you imagine me lost at sea? One of the books I've recently read is about the fellow that was captured and tortured, Zipporah, I can't remember his name, hon, help me, be my thinker tonight. But his story of being lost at sea for days and days and days on a raft with a couple of his buddies, and then later found by the Japanese who tried to kill him before they even rescued him, and then to be put in a prison. I cannot imagine being lost at sea. Can you? I mean, just to be out there with nothing. I mean, no compass, no power, no way to do anything or go anywhere. Just lost. And you can't see anything but ocean. I mean, that's it. I think that's why so many of our hymns are rooted in the harshness of the sea, because of the memories, the stories of people that's crossed over that vast ocean before modern technology. But to be lost. Thomas said, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? How can you know the way? How can you find your way in darkness? How can you discover the way out of that darkness? Well, one of the ways, and even the Lord explained it this way, is light. Light. You know, they say that just a single candle burning, one little single candle with its light, can be seen as much as a mile and a half away. Now, that's a long way, just to see one little candle flickering a mile and a half away. If nothing's obscuring you to be able to see, that's a long way. Just that little light. That little light. Would you turn with me to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. When you think about light, I mean, you automatically, your mind goes to Jesus. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I somewhat get amused to those people that want to explain creation. And one of the ways they try to explain creation is they just throw a big number at it. You know, they'll say billions, billions of years ago, this and that happened. This and that developed. But no, the Bible tells us Jesus made it. He made the rocks and the hills and the trees and the plants and the animals. He made them. Now look what it says in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. How can we know the way, Thomas said? How, when we're lost, when we cannot see, when we're confused, it's dark, how can we find the way? How can we know the way? Well, light. 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 Aren't you thankful for light? Aren't you thankful for light? He was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, now listen, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Brothers and sisters, that statement's either true, or it's just a myth. I happen to believe it's true. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Dr. Lakin used to say that if he talked about Moses and the burning bush, when Moses was tending the sheep in the backside of the desert, and there was a bush that was burning, and the Bible says it wasn't consumed. It just kept burning and burning and burning, and Moses turned aside to see. God began to speak to him. Dr. Lakin used to say about that, every bush is ablaze with God, but only he who turns aside will begin to hear and receive a word from the Lord. God speaks through creation. God speaks through conscience. God gives light to every man. What is that light? The light is Jesus. The light is to shine upon Jesus, to magnify the Lord Jesus, that we could see that He's the way, that He's the one who died for us upon the cross, not clouded or confused in the darkness of our ignorance or in the blindness of our sin, but the light of the gospel shines upon the Lord Jesus. And said, He's the way. How can we know the way? Light. God gives light. Aren't you glad for that? But you know what else the Lord gives to answer this question for Thomas? Thomas says, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Not only does God give light, but God gives landmarks. You realize that? God gives landmarks. That is, visible indications, visible reminders, visible illustrations, visible testimonies that point us to Jesus. In speaking of being out in the woods, either daytime or nighttime, there's would usually be some familiar landmarks that would help you on your way, that would help to direct you to go in the right direction. It might be an old broken tree. It might be a big rock. It might be a certain fork in the road that you say, aha, I know where I'm at. It's a landmark. It's a landmark. God gives landmarks. In fact, He says in the book of Proverbs 22:28, listen, He said, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. There's landmarks. That is, visible testimonies to the goodness and the grace of God that you can see. Every Christian that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that lets their light shine for the Lord Jesus, is a landmark to others to point them to the Savior. Amen? Well, we should be. Others should see us pointing people to Jesus. A visible testimony to redeem a redeemed life. But you know what? God gives an internal landmark. Look with me in Romans chapter 2, if you would. The Bible says that God has so wonderfully placed in the bosom of every person a visible, tangible landmark that they might know the way. Look with me in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law," in other words, they don't know any of the Bible, they don't know any of the Scripture, but are completely ignorant to anything spiritual. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things containing in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law," look at it, "written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Simply put, God has placed in the bosom and the heart of every person a conscience that either says, "That is right," or "You've done wrong." By the way, have you ever had a guilty conscience? Now, y'all don't be so pious tonight. I don't do good with a guilty conscience. But I've had a guilty conscience. Guilty. Say, what is all that? That's God placing a landmark. That's God saying, "Hey, I want to point you in the right direction. I want you to know me. I want you to know the way." He hadn't just thrown us out in the world and say, "Fend for yourself, try to find the way yourself. I mean, try to work it out, try to just make the best of it." He said, "No, friend, I'll pursue you. I'll give you some light." Now, the devil's in the business of blinding the minds of men that the light of the gospel doesn't shine into them. I mean, listen, you reject light and you get darkness. You turn away from the light, you're walking into darkness. You turn away from the truth and you're embracing the lie. And that's where so many people are today. It isn't that they don't know God. It's just that they didn't know something of God, but they turned away from Him. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's where you get the old saying, you know, people can't find God for the same reason that a thief can't find a cop. He's not looking for Him, and he's doing his best to avoid Him. And that's what so many people are doing. They turn the blind eye to the light and then try to explain away a guilty conscience rather than coming to their Creator who made them that He might forgive and cleanse and redeem them. How can we know the way? Well, thank God for light. There are a lot of songs we sing about the lighthouse. And we, Deb and I, love lighthouses. We've seen several lighthouses on some of our journeys. And Lord willing, we're going to try to go back maybe this summer to see Deb's older brother, drive down the western coast of Oregon. Lots of lighthouses to be able to visit. But thank God for the lighthouses, amen, that send forth the light. Thank God for the landmarks, the testimonies of others, the witness of others, but those pointing the way, and then that internal witness of a conscience, a guilty conscience, Romans 2, 14 and 15. But then thirdly, if you'll go back with me for a moment out there in the woods lost, It's dark all around. I mean, maybe there's an overcast sky and you can't see any of the stars and it seems the canopy is heavy and it's just your light's fading and you've already walked this way and that way and can't seem to find your way out. Well, sometimes it may help if you'll just be real quiet and begin to listen. And when you get real quiet, you begin to listen. You may hear a familiar sound that helps point you to the way. One of the places we love to hunt, we called it the mountain. It was just a big hill, but we called it the mountain. And it was a 160-acre track of just rolling mountains and steep gullies. Absolutely, when I was a boy, loaded with turkeys. Loaded. But we loved to coon out there. But there was a sound. There was a sound, a familiar sound. If you'd get quiet and start listening, most likely you'd hear it. You see, on one of our farms below that mountain hill was our hog barn. We had a big hog barn that would farrow 30 sows at a time and then feed out their pigs in that barn and fatten them out. And then we had a big concrete floor that would hold up to 500 fat hogs. And in that concrete outside finishing floor, we called it, there were hog feeders. And those hog feeders, some of you are going to catch on, there was lids, metal lids, that the hogs would come to and they'd lift a lid and they'd eat. And then that lid would drop. And if you listen, you could hear those lids banging. And we'd say, oh, we need to go this way. By listening. By listening. How can we know the way? Thomas said. How can we know the way? God gives light that you might know the way. God gives landmarks that you might know the way. And God said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says concerning the Lord, he said, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's just getting quiet and just start listening so that God could let us hear the way. Amen. Jesus said many times on many occasions this phrase, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. How can we know the way? Romans chapter 1 says this, man that dies without Christ dies without an excuse. No excuse. How can that be? Well, it's because God has showed the way. He's made it plain. He's revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself in Scripture. He's revealed himself in conscience. Multiple ways he's answered that question for mankind. Friend, don't turn a blind eye to the light. Don't close your eyes to the light. Recognize the landmarks that God places along the way to try to direct you. And then at times, maybe it's just you need to listen. Just listen to what God's wanting to say. to give you a distinct sound, to give you something to prod you and direct you. Just a word or two. A familiar sound could help set you back on the right track for God. And I'm talking spiritually. Amen? How can we know the way? Thank God we can know the way. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your truth of the word, and Lord, we thank you for the times in our life that we've hopelessly, helplessly been lost, and how that you so wonderfully gave us light and truth and the Word of God that we might know the way to Jesus. And Father, also, no doubt as Christians, sometimes we're wayward, or like sheep we've gone astray. And not that we're spiritually lost, but maybe we've just got out of step with you. We've avoided the path that we're supposed to walk. And Lord, you so wonderfully redirect us to the way. Help us to be alert. Help us to be sensitive to know that. And like the prodigal son, arise and begin to make that journey back to the Father.